once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
It's way too late to be doing this. Why couldn't we just pod at our normal time? I just got home from work. I'm not a podcasting machine like you. 4 last week.
And 3 this week.
And I guess on the plus side, I've been starting to write notes for the next solo, Joe. See, you're infecting me.
Wow. So we might get more than one a year?
I wouldn't push that, but you never know.
By the way, this is episode 290.
290. Let me write that down. Boy, we're only 10 issues away from our 300th.
10 issues?
Issues.
Series.
Podcasts. Episodes. Doesn't matter.
Well,
I think Marvel would die to get a comic to go to 290 in this market.
Just so you know, Joe, since we last looked, we now have more episodes than the Donna Reed Show, Cheers, Dragnet.
Oh, don't be doing that stuff. I had to live it through The Simpsons.
Robert Montgomery Presents, which I've never even heard of.
Now, if we were comparing ourselves to other podcasts, now that would be more impressive.
No. Hawaii Five-0, we have more episodes than the original Hawaii Five-0. They only had 279. Grey's Anatomy, 281. Same with Family Guy. Wagon Train, 284. And with our next episode, we tie the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show with 291.
That's it. I quit.
No.
Nobody messes with George.
No. Nope.
God, you know.
Well, in a movie he was, yeah. I still remember when that movie came out, I saw it, and I was very impressed with the movie. And this was a small town school, so they brought up God. And people in the classroom were discussing what they thought God was like. And I said, I think he's a lot like the way George Burns was in the movie Oh God, where, you know, he wants us to do well. He wants us to be happy. And one of the students who was very, very religious thought that that was sacrilege. At this point in my life, I believe in George Burns far more than I believe in God.
Well, I did till he died.
I still believe in George Burns.
Nope, I had to move on to something else.
Oh, now what do you believe in?
He's up there with Gracie. I didn't say I found it. I just said I have to.
Remember, who was it that George Carlin said he believed in? Joe Pesci. Because Joe Pesci's a guy who gets things done.
And fat lot of good it did.
I don't know. He retired. Joe Pesci retired with a lot of money.
George Carlin died.
Yeah, but Joe Pesci's still alive.
Sadly, George the Animal Steel isn't.
You know what, Joe? We have more episodes than the George Carlin Show.
See, you're depressing me here. You're not impressing me, you're depressing me.
Well, let's cheer you up by talking about one of our favorite things, American food. I wish we had a theme for American food.
American foods give me heart attacks. American foods make me fart at last. How's that? Oh, Lenny Kravitz might want to have a word with me.
He's not the one who wrote that song.
It doesn't matter. I'm kind of aping him.
Okay. I actually think that we're going to use that from now on. Joe, have you been to the Taco Bell lately?
I have.
Have you had the Naked Chicken Chalupa?
I looked at it, and I wanted to do it. I told Holly, who was in the car with me, it's for the podcast. I need to sacrifice my blood vessels to experience one, but when it finally came down to it, good sense prevailed, and I passed.
What did you get instead?
I didn't get anything. I was just getting something for her.
Oh. The Naked Chicken Chalupa is a taco where the taco shell is fried chicken.
Mm.
Because Lord knows here in America we don't get enough deep-fried meat.
We don't, and there is a definite problem. If the chickens get organized, we're all doomed. So we got to eat as many of them buggers as possible.
Now, my problem with the chicken chalupa, the naked chicken chalupa, is
yes, it's very important because it is indeed naked.
They do not have deep fryers at Taco Bell. So the fact that they have deep fried chicken that they will use for the taco shells disturbs me. Because does that mean it's just reheated? They fry it elsewhere and bring it in? Is this a lie? Joe, is Taco Bell lying to us?
Why not? Everybody else is.
Fine. And the other American food. This one horrifies me, but should make you happy. Joe, do you know what drink is coming back?
Well, I do. And you know why?
Because you've already had one?
No.
Because you were a huge fan of it in the 90s?
No.
Why?
Well, because I decided, since I can't eat Big Macs, because, you know, I'm diabetic, and they have more fat in it than most cows do, and there's no way in hell I was going to try the Grand Mac, at least not unless I have a death wish, I sacrificed myself on a Mac Jr. Because
that's
it has all the flavor.
Joe, that's
one
not
less
a drink.
Layer,
that's not a drink!
The Mac Jr. has a single layer of the 100% bare sizzled, oh, sorry, I got a little dirt on my monitor, sear sizzled beef, one slice of melty American squeeze, sorry, more dirt, cheese, served on a something-something bun with their iconic Big Mac sauce.
By the way, I did not know you can order Big Mac sauce on anything.
Oh, yeah, they actually were giving away little bottles of this stuff when they announced the Mac Jr. and the Grand Mac.
And no, but I mean, if you go to McDonald's, you want a chicken sandwich? Yes, I'd like Mac sauce on it. Do you want the McGriddle? I'd like Mac sauce on it. Would you like an ice cream cone? Yes, I'd like Mac
sauce on
it.
See what happens when you spend all day in the Solitaire Rose compound eating pie and cackling into the screen? You've got to get out more. Let's see, what do we call
it? There's nothing for me out there.
McDonald's. Well, you said there was a drink. What is it?
Joe, one of your favorites is back, and one that we ruthlessly mocked you for whenever we went to the bar with you. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, Zima has returned.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the multi-flavored Shamrock Shakes.
Oh, no, those are wonderful.
My thing off into the McDonald's thing, which, by the way, if you want one of those little bottles of special sauce, you can get it for about $100.
Or you could just
which is good because the other ones are one guy has one for like $9,999.99, but he is offering free shipping with this. So
or you could just go to the grocery store and spend $2.50 on a bottle of Thousand Island dressing.
Or you could there's one for 17. It does no yeah you don't want to cheat, you want to get the real stuff.
But no, Zima is back. Zima, the drink that let women know that you have your penis is an innie.
Zima.
Zima's back. Crystal Pepsi's back. For all we know, they're going to resurrect Kurt Cobain and put him on tour.
Kurt Cobain on tour. Now there's some tickets on Ticket Hub, but other than that, I don't see.
On StubHub. I don't know, man. I don't know. We've got a president who's a tangerine. Zima's coming back. The world's falling apart. We need something to ground us. We need something to return to make us happy.
More Spider-Man comics.
You know what? I agree. More Spider-Man comics. They announced this week that Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, is coming back.
I didn't even know it was canceled.
About 20 years ago.
See, all I care about is Amazing.
Oh. That's probably why it was canceled. Joe, do you know why Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, was started
Infinite,
in 1976?
Yes.
Why was it started?
I don't know.
Because Gary Conway came back. He came back to Marvel after leaving Marvel and going to DC. And then he was offered the editor-in-chief position, because the reason he left is because he wasn't offered the editor-in-chief position. He came back and he wanted a Spider-Man book, and it was, well, Len Wein is contractually, you know, he's got Amazing Spider-Man.
Contractual obligations.
So Gary said, all right, start another Spider-Man book for me. And at the time, what it was supposed to be is Amazing is where the big things happen. And Peter Parker would be where you get more of Peter Parker's personal life and you get more of the supporting cast. It never really turned out that way. But that was the pitch for why they were doing it and why it was called Peter Parker, The Amazing Spider-Man. And now Chip Zdarsky, who did the Howard the Duck book, he also does an amazing Image book called Sex Criminals, which if you haven't read it and you're over 18, you need to read it. It's really good. He's going to be doing a Spider-Man book. He says it'll be set in New York. He gets to use the iconic Spider-Man cast of supporting characters, and it will focus more on Peter Parker's life in New York City.
Are you talking the old one or the new one?
The new one.
You made the segue that I missed. Now, my question is how are you going to do that if Parker is a world-trotting, multi-Tony Stark-type billionaire?
Well, he's got to have a personal life, doesn't he?
Not if he's running around, you know, at the drop of a spider copter, going anywhere all around the world, running a multi-billion-dollar conglomeration out of the Fantastic Four Baxter Building, no doubt.
Well, we don't know what's going to be happening over the next few months. The clone conspiracy just ended, and there's all sorts of stuff about how his corporation's in trouble. And we're going to see some fallout here, but they seem to be shaking up the whole Spider-Man universe. So I thought what we could do is kind of do a State of the Spider-Man episode. What's going on with Spider-Man?
Does that
what
mean
like?
I have
what
to
we
read
like?
Spider-Man? Because I have a bunch from Brand New Day I haven't gotten to yet.
Joe, that joke is 278 episodes.
We got to do something for our long-term listeners. And plus, we got to do something to entice the newer listeners, which we are very appreciative of, to go back and download the other ones. Because, you know, it ain't cost you nothing. It's free.
No,
they're all free.
Now, you see, that's what makes us better than WTF with Mark Maron. You want to listen to his older episodes? Well, you got to pay for it.
I'll some money.
You want to listen to the old episodes of Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana? Got to pay for them.
If you'd like Colt Cabana.
If you want to listen to the old episodes of Comic Geek Speak, you probably should because it was much better back then.
It was.
Am I supposed to? Anyway, Spider-Man.
More episodes than them yet?
No, they're in the thousands.
Okay, well, we're on their tail.
Yeah, we'll catch up.
A little bit
you
of
know,
dust way beyond
hold
the
on.
Horizon there. I think that's them.
Let me, hold on, do the math, carry the 7.
God, he's doing math.
Divide by the square root of
4. Hurry, sit down before you give yourself an aneurysm.
In 2092, we will surpass them.
Well, that's good, because I'm not planning on living past 2035.
Well, we already know that your daughters take over the podcast anyway, so.
Spoiler
alert!
Not necessarily.
We've listened to an episode in the future.
Not necessarily.
Oh, what? Is there some breaking news I don't know about?
That's what she said. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just reading things to say after a conversation. What are we talking about? Spider-Man. We're talking about Spider-Man.
Yes. Your daughter's taking over the podcast and Spider-Man.
No, she wants something. She wants something more lucrative to do.
I think standing by the side of the road with a sign that says poor and destitute, please help, would be more lucrative.
It would be.
But we're loved anyway. You know who loves us, Joe?
Isn't it too early to talk about our sponsors?
That's what I was going to say. These guys, our sponsors. That's right. Here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads. And our first sponsor is me. That's right. Your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our
online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you can get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You can get them weekly. You can get them bi-weekly. You can get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. Thanks.
We have to surprise people once in a while.
Yeah, because you know, most of them will just fast forward through that anyway. So
we got to shake it up.
Very true.
Don't want to be predictable.
What'd you say?
Spider-Man. My first question about Spider-Man, because it's almost, 8 years ago, 9 years ago? Let's put aside the story itself. Joe, do you think one more day was a good idea for Spider-Man?
Not really. I guess the way it was executed, I thought was poorly done. In this day and age of, you know, hey, we can change reality because it's a fictional universe, people, however we want. You know, I just thought it was kind of a bogus way of doing it. He made a deal with the devil.
Well, no, Mary Jane made the deal with the devil.
Doesn't matter. The whole point
Peter
is...
Peter Parker was too wishy-washy to say yes or no.
So, it was just...
Which fits the character.
Now, of course, in my brain, you know, you could always have done a story like, hey, you know what? It just so happened that Mephistopheles had a Infinity Gem and he changed history and... Or it was one of those wishy-washy, timely-wimely, wibbly-wobbly things, you know, that we've talked about endlessly on the podcast. Doctor Strange made the universe out of his rememberies. No, wait a minute. It was destroyed in Thanos the End. No, wait a minute. Secret Wars did it. You know, you had multiple ways of doing it. Instead, we're going to make a deal with the devil.
By the way, you want a weird thing about the whole universe being recreated?
How many times are we up to?
In Ultimates, they're starting to drop hints that after Secret Wars, things weren't put together quite right.
Well, we've always thought that ever since the old Doctor Strange thing, you know. But, you know, there's a lot of threads you can play with.
But put aside whether the story's any good or not, the effect of it, to make Spider-Man single, to kind of give him a restart, do you think that has worked?
I it's hard to say. I mean, it's selling. I mean, you could probably have Fred Hembeck do the entire series and it would still sell, you know. So not to knock Fred. I mean, that was more of a assistant editor day joke for you old people. So I don't know.
Hey!
You tell me. I mean, from a story standpoint, it took me a long time to really get back into it. I mean, they were basically, I don't think I read it right afterwards because it was so, I don't know. It was a bad aftertaste in my mouth. Yeah, I gave him a chance and yeah, it got interesting. But how did it do sale wise? I mean, you're the one that knows all the sale figures. Did it help?
Sales-wise,
did it go down?
Sales wise, it dipped for a while afterward because Spider-Man became a 3 times a month book rather than 3 different series. Because it used to be, Amazing Spider-Man sold really well, and the other two books would kind of sell okay. With them changing it to three times a month, they all sold a little better than okay. And then by the time they got done with that sort, that iteration of Spider-Man, it was still a top 10 book. So if you look at the overall sales, you know, let's add the three Spider-Man books together, it sold about the same. Amazing didn't sell as well, but it sold better than the other two, so, you know, in aggregate it worked, sales-wise. I think artistically it worked, because it really kind of brought Spider-Man back to the back to basics, which you need to do every so often. Especially since Spider-Man is very well known as a soap opera. It brought back a lot of that soap opera feel. And then you had the Dan Slott era, which, I gotta be blunt, I'm loving the Dan Slott era. I love the fact that he does these big events like Spider Island, like on the, what was the big, the Spider-Verse?
Mm-hmm.
Superior Spider-Man. And now we're just getting done with the Clone Conspiracy. I think he does the big Spider-Man stories really, really well. Because not only does he build up to them over time, but they have after effects that linger. You know, in the Clone Conspiracy, you had after effects from things that he had started with Dr. Octopus even before Superior Spider-Man. I like J. Jonah Jameson as being kind of related to Peter Parker now. Because otherwise there's really no reason for them to be involved with each other, because Peter Parker now runs his corporation. And while I can understand people going, I don't like Peter Parker running a corporation, we're at the point where really you can't have him still be this poor, unliked, nebbish, who's barely scraping by, when he's been Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe for 15 years.
Well, yeah, and he's hanging out with the Avengers. I mean, he's not...
And he's one of the most brilliant scientific minds. Come on, he built this. He built web shooters and created web fluid at 15.
Yeah.
The character who gets to be the teenage schlub is now Miles Morales. He gets to be kind of the, you know, the nerdy teenage Spider-Man.
Sure.
And I think that works.
It's one of those, I don't know, it wasn't for me. I didn't read I read it for a little bit, the Miles Morales Spider-Man, but eventually it just dropped, because it was kind of like, this isn't the Spider-Man I know, not the one I want. But I still got the original.
Yeah. And I think some of the additions they've done have been good. I don't think they all deserve their own series.
Well, see, this is something that I found kind of interesting. And I noticed it, and I'll talk a little bit more in eBay section. A lot of Marvel series come out of other series. It struck me as I was putting up a run of Winter Soldier, which I think I tried for 5 or 6 issues and then eventually quit. And you're like, well, where'd this come from? Well, this came from the whole, what was that? Nick Fury says a secret, now Thor's a girl. Original Sin.
Original Sin.
So a lot of these series, they try to make them organically come, and there's no guarantee they're actually going to do anything compared to something like Red Wolf, which just came out of nowhere and lasted 6 issues and then disappeared. Winter Soldier did kind of the same thing. So, I don't fault Marvel for trying, especially when they come out of, like, Spider-Verse. So what series came out of Spider-Verse?
You had two. You had Spider-Gwen and Web Warriors. And Web Warriors was the one that I don't even think is being published anymore. That was the one where I went, I don't know.
Well, also, I think Spider-Woman came out of that. And then... was Silk out of that too, or did that come? Did she come later?
She kind of came before. I don't remember if her series spun out of it or not, but she was a character that was introduced in a different story. So Spider-Verse was where Spider-Gwen first showed up.
Oh, and Scarlet Spiders came part of that. And, of course, Amazing Spider-Man 2099 was part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, it looks like Spider-Man 2099 is going to be coming to a close because the creative team is going to be moving over and doing Scarlet Spider. Web Warriors, it was an idea where, you know, I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and I went, yeah, I don't want to read about five different Spider-Men traveling through parallel universes.
I'm just kind of flipping through my previews here, and I see the Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider. So is that one you're going to pick up?
Yeah, it's Peter David.
Oh, yeah, that's I didn't do the 2099 because I think I got kind of tired of it. But I definitely will try it, because usually anything Peter David writes, I'm real hip with. Now, how about Miles Spider-Man?
I am reading that in trades, or on the Marvel app. I like it, and I like the fact that he's going to have a crossover with Spider-Gwen, but it doesn't have the magic it had when it was the Ultimate Universe, because in my mind, Miles doesn't really fit in the Marvel Universe. In the Ultimate Universe, he picked up the mantle of being Spider-Man because Peter Parker had died. And that worked for me. Now, in the Marvel Universe, there's really no reason for him to be called Spider-Man when Peter Parker's called Spider-Man. You've got two different characters running around called Spider-Man. Miles Morales, in my opinion, should have a different superhero name.
Yes, I guess I've had this discussion with a buddy of mine, Eric, because he didn't like the fact that X-23 took up the mantle of Wolverine. He thought she should have been named something else. And I'm like, you know what? I think we get too hung up on superhero names. That's a fanboy thing. I think it's fine for what it is. I don't buy that he would suddenly decide to be, well, there is one Spider-Man, let's be someone else.
Although, yeah, let's take it for our world. If there were two celebrities calling themselves Weird Al, you had the original Weird Al, and then you had a new kid who was kind of like Weird Al, except he was doing, you know, top 40 songs that appeal to teenagers now.
It would depend on one thing. Who has the trademark on Weird Al?
Right. But it would cause all sorts of confusion. That's why in the Screen
but
Actors
Guild, that's a commercial. That's a commercial venture. This is superheroes. You know, again, maybe under the Superhero Registration Act, you can't have two Spider-Men. Why not? We've got like three Spider-Women. So
I don't like that either.
But I'm just saying there could be if you make a reason why there shouldn't be. Other than that, it's just. To me, it's nonsense. It's a non-issue as to whether or not I like the character or not.
I like the character, but here's the difference. There is no Wolverine right now. So Wolverine's daughter, for lack of a better term, takes up the mantle. To me, that's legacy hero. I don't have a problem with that. Or, you know, DC does it all the time. All right.
Well,
Jake Eric was the Flash. He's not the Flash anymore. Now
they
Barry
just
Allen
do that for
Flash.
The next
Barry
crisis
Allen's...
so they have people to kill off.
But also, one person at a time has the name to create a legacy.
Nah. I think it's too much. Legacies only matter to old farts like us who've been reading since the 70s and before. For newer people, they'll be like, oh yeah, I dig this new Spider-Man, but this other guy, he's old. I don't like him.
Then why is did DC use Rebirth to bring back the idea of legacy heroes?
Who knows why DC does anything? It's kind of like the same question. I'm not going to ask whether you're going to read Amazing Spider-Man, because I know you are. Are you reading Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows?
Yes, I am, because it's Gary Conway. Even though there's a part of me, you know, I am not a big continuity guy, but with Spider-Man, I still kind of have that continuity bug because Spider-Man was the book that I followed religiously, even through, you know, the horrible clone saga. Fantastic Four, I finally had enough and I dropped. The Avengers, oh, it got bad and I dropped. Spider-Man, I read all the way through. So Peter Parker and Mary Jane, when they have a kid, her name is May, and she grows up to be Spider-Girl. God damn it!
See, I kind of lost it with Gary when he came out with the Amazing Spider-Man 16.1, 16.2. I just, plus I also think those issues, he went back to one of my least favorite Spider-Man stories. He's dealing with organized crime. Ugh, no, don't like it. I mean, you have a superpower. I never liked it. I didn't like the way they used him in the old age. Kingpin really didn't get interesting to me until, like, it was at issue 199 when him and Spider-Man had the drag-out fight for two, three pages with no words. And then he went away. And when Frank Miller brought him back...
Then he went over to Daredevil.
Yeah, then he started to get interesting again. How about, you said you read Spider-Gwen?
Yes, I do. I read that on the Marvel app.
Now, are you into the preludes, like for the, they have the part two of the movie thing coming up?
I no.
How about Venom?
It's, who's writing?
Mike Costa.
I'll read that on the app.
Yeah.
Venom, I've never liked Venom as a series. I thought it was interesting when they had Flash Thompson as Venom, because they'd really built up to that. And then he really worked well in Guardians of the Galaxy because they tied into the fact that it is an alien. But even in the 90s, the whole Venom getting these series of miniseries where he's a hero, and you and I have touched on this before, he's not a hero. Spider-Man should be trying to bring him to justice. And he, you know, when he was the Eddie Brock character, is, I'm going to eat your brain. I'm sorry, but if somebody says they're going to eat your brain, they're probably not a hero. They're probably a villain.
Well, and you got to remember where that came from.
Return of the Walking Dead.
No, it came from the toy. He never really said that until the Black Venom toy came out with the little tiny thing you'd press and go, I want to eat your brain. And then all of a sudden, people thought that was the funniest thing they heard, and then they put it in the comic. So it was kind of shoehorned in. You're reading Spider-Man 2099?
Okay. Yes, until it's completed. Peter David is one of those writers who I enjoy.
He could write the phone book, and it would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he wrote Aquaman, and I liked it. And I hate Aquaman.
I mean, we all love the stupid sharks. We still talk to it from this day. Okay, the last one that I think is part of the Spider-Man family would be Silk.
Silk is one I really want to like because I think it is such a fascinating character, but I don't like how she's being used. They still never explain why she and Peter Parker are mad at each other, because when she was introduced, it was part of the whole spider totem stuff, and because they had the same powers, and they got the powers from the same spider, they were drawn to each other.
And now most of that spider totem stuff, they just kind of, we don't talk about it too much.
No, they talked about it the whole time in Spider-Verse.
Oh.
Spider-Verse was based on that.
Now you caught me because I still am trying to line up my Spider-Man to get them read. And while I was going through it, I was able to read the first part of it, including the I think that included the meeting between Spider-Gwen and Peter Parker. And then after that, I had to wait and get everything back together again. So, and I have it now in my collection. I just got to sit down and, reread it and finish reading it.
And while I don't mind the fact that they're not going to be together, there's never been a story explanation other than, we really don't get along.
Now, I'm trying to find what...
Explain it somewhere!
What Avenger group is Spider-Man in now? Is he in the new Avengers, the one that Mark Waid's writing?
Yeah, he's going to be in the Mark Waid Avengers.
Okay. So, again, it sounds like what you said, they're going to deal with the whole Parker multi-whatever company. But, that's a lot to do and go bopping through time fighting King War, But, what the heck. More Spider-Man all the time. So now,
Now, were you one of those people who got mad when Bendis put Spider-Man in the Avengers?
No, actually, I thought it was kind of interesting. He also touched on the themes where they actually talked to J. Jonah Jameson and said, hey, we'll give you exclusives if you lay off the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's ironic that you say that because we'll come up to this in geeking because I got my New Avengers by Brian Michael Bendis, The Complete Collection, Volume 1. And I read it. Of course, a lot of it I should say rereading because I had the previous 1, 2, 3, and this I think barely gets up through the Sentry story. And it was kind of fun to read because, you know, I mean, I just read these things a couple months ago and I'm rereading it and I'm like, I don't remember half this stuff. So, I mean, I'm glad I bought this in the complete collection because I know this is going to be what I read. But they bring up the point later on after the fight where Spider-Man's kind of like, well, no, I got to be a solo guy. I don't like it. And Captain America talks him out of that and says, no, it's time you take your place, you know.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about it, because if you're going to kind of honor Marvel history, with 150 issues of Marvel Team-Up, Spider-Man has really worked with everyone.
Well, and there's even points that I love, like when he beat down, Galactus's Herald. Was it Fire Lord?
Yeah,
it was a two-issue series in Spider-Man where he basically beat him down. Then it was a corresponding Avenger one where they're like, Fire Lord's in the city and Spider-Man's beating him down. And basically after Spider-Man beat him down, I don't know if it was Thor or Hercules at the time, but his word balloons are zounds. There must be more to this Spider-Man if he can beat down a Herald of Galactus.
Yeah. And he's been around. He was, you know, the early days of the Fantastic Four, they need to honor the fact that he's been around as long as just about everybody else. He's worked with everyone. And the Avengers was supposed to be, this is Marvel's Justice League. These are our best. These are the characters that we call on when shit gets deep. That's why I had no problem with, hey, you know, Wolverine? Hey, Wolverine's worked with everybody. Spider-Man's worked with everybody.
And they even made a joke about that.
Core characters.
They made a joke about that in New Avengers. You know, it seems like he's everywhere nowadays. You know, you're just kind of winking your eye at the audience saying, yeah, we know. Just enjoy the story. Now,
yeah.
I've complained in the past, too many X-Men. I've complained recently, too many Avengers. The question comes now, are there too many Spider books? Are there going to be too many? Because now it sounds like you said there's a Spectacular coming up.
I think it's going to depend on how often Amazing comes out. If Amazing comes out every 2 weeks, and Spectacular comes out every 2 weeks, you're going to get a Spider-Man book every week, which is just like it was in the 90s, and most of the 80s, really. And I don't have a big problem with that. But it seems more often than not that Spider-Man comes out every 3 weeks, every month. I don't mind that idea of there's a Spider-Man book every week, because there's a Superman book every week, there's a Batman book every week. I think the character's strong enough and popular enough he can carry that. I don't think the spin-off books are carrying their own weight. You know, Spider-Gwen's interesting, but...
Well, Silk must be doing
how
something.
How long are you going to do the dementia?
She's up to...
I don't like the...
She's up to 19.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty significant in this, you know, 6 issues you're out of here market.
Yeah. I don't like the fact that she hops over to our parallel Earth all the time. I wish either you're going to have the character in her own Earth or you're going to have her here. Choose. I think Silk is an interesting character, but I don't think that she was well-developed enough for her own series. And when you read the series, it feels that way because it's all over the place. You know, oh, she's a spy. Oh, now she doesn't want to be a spy. You need to spend some time on the character rather than just, oh, here's her own book.
Did they cancel Spider-Woman?
Yes.
Okay, well, that takes care of that question. Again, you gave it a try. It didn't work. You know, again.
And they've tried Spider-Woman tons and tons of times. I think what we've learned is Spider-Woman is a great supporting character, but she can't carry her own book.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You need supporting characters. You need characters in team books. Spider-Man should have a huge cast.
Oh, how could I forget?
But I think...
Do you read Spider-Man Deadpool?
No, I don't. I hear it's okay, so I'll probably read it on the Marvel Unlimited app. But Deadpool's a character I know everybody loves him. I know he's very popular. I know he's the most cosplayed character in the world. But to me, he's a very one-note joke. And there's two, you know, we got flooded with Deadpool books. And I hear it's okay, so yeah, I'll read it on the app. But I'm one of the few people who's just, okay, Deadpool, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I mean, I'll read it if I find it in the library, but I don't go out of my way. So what, if you were in charge of the Spider-Man line, and they said, okay, Corey, your mandate, we need more Spider books. What would you do short of, like, bribing Steve Ditko with some unimaginable thing to come back? What would you do, or what characters would you choose? Or would you maybe go to the often used, like, Tales of the Spider-Verse? Go out and find, or Tales of Webbed or whatever. You know, we're going to find people, give me 5-6-issue stories, and just keep doing that. Because you know somebody must have a Spider-Man story somewhere that doesn't fit into what's going on.
One of my favorite comics in the 90s, when it was done well, was the Batman book Dark Knight. What was it called?
Legends of the Dark Knight?
Legends of the Dark Knight, where you have different creative teams come in and do stories. But with Spider-Man, what I would do is I would say, hey, Roger Stern, you got a Spider-Man story in ya? Okay, cool. Len Wein, do you have a Spider-Man story in ya? Cool. Marv Wolfman, you got a Spider-Man story in? I would go back to the people who'd worked on the character before and ask them if they have a Spider-Man story. Maybe wrapping up some of their loose plot threads. Maybe telling stories based in Spider-Man now. But I think everybody who's worked on Spider-Man always says it's the one character they want to come back to. And the problem is, if I were the editor, I'd want to do that, but I know it would sell. I do like the idea of we're going to have a book that focuses more on Spider-Man's supporting cast, because he has the best supporting cast in comics, period. J. Jonah Jameson, Robbie Robertson, Mary Jane Watson, Glory Grant, Liz Allen, Harry Osborn, Flash Thompson, even, I can't think of the character's name, who was Spider-Man's girlfriend when Dr. Octopus was living in his spine.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I don't have my Spider-Man comic nearby.
She's a great character. Mm-hmm. A book that focuses, you know, that focuses on Peter Parker's personal life. Yes, you got to have the superhero stuff in it, but that would be where the soap opera stuff comes in. Amazing Spider-Man can be the big events. And Dan Slott is really good with the villains. His take on the Black Cat is my favorite take on that character, period. She's an ex-girlfriend who's pissed at him now and has decided she's going to go back, she's going to be a criminal, and she's going to destroy him. What a great villain. What a perfect Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, especially since you're not going to do the romance stuff anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, just what a great villain for Spider-Man. Rhino's back, because we're going to, you know, we've got all of this stuff that's happened over the years. You've got, Spider-Man has one of the great rogues galleries and a great supporting cast. We've done a great job with the rogues gallery, but the supporting cast has languished. Yeah, we brought Harry Osborn back, but he hasn't been used a whole lot in the last five years.
I think he's showed up as a behind-the-scenes consultant in the big corporation or whatever. No idea where Norm is after he was given a new body and disappeared. You tell me he's...
There's going to be a big Norman Osborn story coming.
But if he doesn't come back with those cornrow haircuts, I mean, who cares?
Good God, that hair! But I would like it if, you know, the people who gave us some great Spider-Man stories, Roger Stern should be writing Spider-Man, period. You know, Roger Stern was one of the best people who worked on Spider-Man. I thought his run was cut short. Tom DeFalco's run on Spider-Girl showed that if you let one of the, I don't want to say older creators, but one of the creators who's worked on the book for a while say, here's yours. Just have fun. Just do good stuff.
I heard they're going to put Mary Jane and Peter Parker together again.
Really?
I just read that in one of the goofy things that I read as I'm flipping through Facebook all day long. Do you think they should, or should they just keep them apart as friends?
I think it could be interesting because they sowed the seeds of it in One More Day. And a lot of fans have put forth the theory, and I agree with this theory, Mary Jane remembers.
Hmm.
Because we don't know what she told Mephisto. She whispered something in Mephisto's ear before everything changed. And the theory is that she said, let him forget, let me remember. That's the theory. And I think that would be interesting.
Well, if they get together, would that mean Mr. M will come back for what's her name, Aunt May? Or will we just kind of ignore that?
I don't think it'll be ignored because Dan Slott doesn't ignore anything.
So we might see...
If there's one thing we've learned, Dan Slott doesn't ignore
anything. So we might
anything.
See Gwen Stacy's kids come back.
Let's hope that whole story went away with Secret Wars.
Let's hope that it was actually a clone. That's how...
Let's hope both of the characters, both Norman Osborn and Gwen Stacy in that story, let's hope they were both clones.
I would like to see that happen.
God,
I'd let Norm be Norm, but I would say it would be a clone because Jackal's been jerking Peter around forever. And if he even thought that was going to happen, there's no way he would have let Norm get away with that. That'll be my mopey.
That's your mopey. Now, can you please explain to the people who mopey is? Because we've mentioned mopey a whole bunch of times and you've never explained who the character
is. I don't
is.
Think we should. I think if you care who mopey is, you can go Google it and discover the horror yourself. In this day and age, there's no excuse for not Googling. Well, I do have
who
one guy at my work. He doesn't have a computer, so he's off the hook. He can go look it up in the card catalog like we used to. But everybody else?
Who had the Mopey Awards? Somebody used to have the Mopey Awards.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Somebody, hang on. To Google. Because I think they did it in the Comic Buyer's Guide, didn't they?
That might have been it. But the first time I heard a Mopey, it was in Ambush Bug. Where Ambush Bug is talking about these characters that no longer exist in DC continuity because they're too stupid.
How do you spell Mopey? Is it
M-O-P-E-E.
E-E, that's what I'm doing. I got a Y in there. I'm not getting anything. Still not getting anything. Google, you're failing me.
Oh, that means that...
here we go. Proposed...
Johnny DC was able to get rid of her.
Proposed DC Silver Age Mopey Awards trade paperback. That was proposed last year.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Silver Age did it, of the Comic Book Buyer's Guide.
Okay.
And he still may do it online. I haven't looked to see if he's still doing stuff. Check it out. It's awesome.
Well, Joe, if you got to have a Spider-Man book, mm-hmm. what Spider-Man book would you want to have?
I think I would want to do miniseries. I would try to get creators that either have in the past or haven't done it and have them come in and say, hey, let's do a Spider-Man story. Do you want to do a Spider-Man story? Do you have a Spider-Man story? Do a reach out to people. I don't know. I'd love to see what Harlan Ellison would come up with as a Spider-Man story, assuming he's even doing comics anymore. I don't know. Fred Hembeck, hey, I'll give you four issues, six if it's good, you know, just and see what happens. maybe, you know, as you're reading forward, say, you know what, this character is pretty popular. Let's do a miniseries just to see what happens. You know, the Rocket Raccoon effect. You know, he appeared in Hulk. People were like, oh, that's kind of funny. Oh, we did a 4-issue Rocket Raccoon series, and then he disappeared till Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Get with Slott and say, hey, you know, you got an event going up? Let's do, let's try to do like the Thanos quest. We'll do a quick series that's going to tie in everything that people will ignore until it's too late. You know, kind of like what happened.
Here, we'll put out this miniseries that won't sell well, but then it'll be worth a lot of money, so comic shops will love it.
Well, that kind of happened with Clone Conspiracy. We even read the thing online where people are like, Dan was like, people, I know you ordered this, but you really have to buy it because it's really going to tie into the main book. And, you know, I mean, I got to admit, when I heard it as a Clones series, I'm like, oh, facepalm. But it's turned out really good. I don't know if I'd necessarily want more Spider-Man books. You know, they did an Untold Tales of Spider-Man years ago where Kurt Busiek did.
Kurt Busiek and Patrick O'Leaf, I just reread that recently. Yeah. And the odd thing is, at the time, it was my favorite Spider-Man book. Because we were in the middle of the goddamn Clone Saga. Going back and rereading it, oh, it's disjointed. It jumps around.
Yeah, because he's kind of filling in holes that he perceives.
He was filling in holes. And the trade paperback doesn't have the letters pages. And by the way, this happens between this and this in the original Spider-Man run.
Yeah.
So you're reading, it's like, what the hell happened between the last issue and this
issue? I think the most
they've skipped a whole
significant
bunch.
Thing they did was, well, first of all, they were 99 cents. I think they were just trying to get people to respond like me. You know, these are comics are too expensive. And
they've learned. And Marvel said this. They said it before, they said it after, they said it during, and I agree with them, that when you cut the price of a book, when you sell a comic cheap, people go, oh, well, it doesn't cost as much as the other, so it must not be any good.
And I think the only significant thing that came out of it was the idea that Mary Jane knew who Spider-Man was almost from the get-go, because she saw him fly out the window.
Wrong.
Oh, they got rid of that one?
No, that happened long before that. It was in a Gary Conway Marvel graphic novel that kind of gave the history of Mary Jane. I forget the name of it, but it came out like 1989, 1990.
Obviously, it's a big hit. Just, Mary Jane.
At the time, it did. I don't remember the name of it.
You know, I have no idea. I had no idea it existed, so I will say it didn't. Mary Jane, no. All I see is Mary Jane... Spider-Man, you just hit the jackpot.
No, it's a Spider-Man Marvel graphic novel. In that, remember when the Marvel graphic novel were actually just kind of big annuals?
Yeah, I don't see anything here.
Hold on, I will find it.
Google, that's twice you failed me. Where's Bing? Who you said wrote it?
Gary Conway.
Gary.
Parallel Lives.
Here we go.
Gary Conway, drawn by Alex Savalik, and inked by a guy whose name, Andy, there's no way I'll pronounce that last name correctly. M-U-S-H-Y-N-S-K-Y.
So it's Mary, it's not Spider-Man, it's Mary Jane.
Nope, it's Amazing Spider-Man Parallel Lives. And you can get it off of Amazon for $2.
Yeah, it doesn't have much of a... Is that a graphic novel?
64 pages. Yes, remember when the Marvel graphic novel were actually the larger, European album
size?
Yeah,
I remember those. I've been reading a big thing about them, and I just don't remember this one.
It was toward the end of the run. It was, does it give a date?
Oh,
it was reprinted in 2012.
Maybe that's what I'm looking at. I see the comic version, and then the graphic novel was number 46.
Yep.
So
it had to be late. You know, it had to be late in the run of the Marvel graphic novels because, I don't know, by the end they were like $10, and they were still 64 pages, And they weren't a special event anymore. Because when they first came out, it was like, oh, the first one is Death of Captain Marvel. And the New Mutants was in one. And you had the Killraven one, which Don McGregor still says Killraven was the largest selling Marvel graphic novel that came out. It outsold Death of Captain Marvel. And I have no reason to doubt him. And P. Craig Russell says the same thing, and they get the royalty checks, so they know.
Even bigger than X-Men, God, Man Loves, God Kills, or God Kills, Man, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they reprinted God Love, Man Kills in the smaller version, whereas with the Killraven, when they reprinted it, still in the large version, so.
We don't know. I know one thing.
What's that?
If you go out, and let's see, pick up the Star Wars tie-in novel, Aftermath, Empire's End, you will find out what happens to Jar Jar Binks. And apparently it's not pretty.
No, I actually have read that sequence.
Yep. So.
Joe, shall we spoil it for
no,
people?
No, no. Let people go out and read the book first.
I will say this. In my mind, it's almost meta-commentary on the character of Jar Jar Binks. And I can't tell you why I think it's meta-commentary without spoiling it. But I think it's meta-commentary on the character.
So you've got a week to go out, read the book, and then we're going to spoil it for you.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Yeah, not yet.
But they released the chapter that Jar Jar Binks shows up in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they wanted it released because it's been released to, like, websites and stuff or saying, yeah, we got a preview copy of this, and you won't believe what happened to Jar Jar Binks.
Yep. So, in the meantime,
I'll say this.
Google it. Although we haven't had much luck with Google today.
I'll say this. All the people who say that Jar Jar Binks was actually a dark Jedi, that theory is shot in the head and buried. That theory is put to rest. So, Joe, are you buying Amazing Spider-Man?
I am. Currently? I will probably, it's one of the few that I'll probably stick with because, again, it's one of the first comic titles that I actually bought many, many moons ago. And I like you, I'm having a good time with Slott and what he's writing. If he ever does decide to leave, I'd have to, you know, pause and think, well, maybe not. But, you know, wait and see when that happens, if it happens.
And who they bring on after Slott.
That's true.
Because, you know, when JMS left, a lot of people said, oh, nobody will be as good as him. So they brought in Dan Slott, Mark Waid, Mark Guggenheim, and they were kind of the brain trust. You know, let's face it, if after Slott they bring in Kurt Busiek, we'll all be happy.
Of course, I'd be happy if there's more... Astro City. That's, you know, that's what I'm happy for.
Well, we've already done the ads.
Oh, cool.
So now we just ask Joe what we ask after the ads. Joe, what's going on the eBays?
Well, I got a letter from one of our long-term listeners.
Yep. Really? Because I have a letter,
well,
too. But you can read
yours. Because mine was just a short thing. Like I said, if you buy something off me off the eBays and you win, just send me a quick note via the new message system. And this is Eric Smith out of North Carolina. And he says, hey, Joe, just wanted to say thanks. Thank you for the wonderful entertainment both you and Corey provide on the podcast. I've been listening for over 2 years and really enjoy the Tales from the Shop segments, which, of course, I'm deeply embarrassed because I don't have a Tales from the Shop ready for this particular one. Although, if you do...
You did a whole episode of Tales
from the Shop.
If you
go listen to the Solo Joe two-parter, that basically is me and my old partner, Pat, just reminiscing about, getting together, our pre-cut shop days, our shop days, and even our eBay's days, just to bring her back around. I mentioned earlier... I'm into the runs portion of clearing out my vast accumulation of crap. Basically, you'll be seeing less single issues going up and more longer runs. For example, I just did Area 1-4, Soul Market 1-4, and Angela Area Crossover, a Midwinter Dream Lot, somebody made a best offer on. Corey, did you ever read Tiny Titans Little Archie 1-3?
Yes, I did, because I am a huge fan of the creative team with Art Balthazar and
yes,
Bronco.
Awesome stuff. I had my collection up. I put it up. Didn't last long. It sold. Our buddy Eric bought JLA to Z, the 2003 Justice League directory thing. I sold Corey. Let's ask this, Strode. Corey, about Justice League, The Nail.
That is a story by Alan Davis, who's one of my favorite comic creators. Beautiful, beautiful art, by the way. And it's an Elseworlds story that's really more of a what-if, because a lot of the Elseworlds are, it's Superman and War of the Worlds. But this was, while the Kents were driving, they had a flat tire because of a nail. And this goes into what happens, because the Kents weren't the ones to raise Superman. And it was a prestige format. I think it was two-issue, and then they did a sequel.
Yep.
And there's probably a trade paperback that reprints
and
all of them.
I got to tell you.
Oh, it's Alan
on the
Davis,
eBays,
man. It's Alan
on the
Davis.
eBays, they're not that expensive. So, and I sold, let's see if I can find it. Guess how much I sold both runs, the Justice League, the Nail 1-3, and another Nail 1-3-4? Actually, I got a little bit more than that, about $12. And considering they were, $4 a piece when they first come out? Yeah,
no,
so that was the steals. Corey, tell me about Domino Chance.
Domino Chance was one of those 80s books. It was black and white. I never read it, but the character looked kind of like an ant.
You know, and I actually met the creator, Kevin Lena. I'm sorry if I'm, you know me, I'm a name butcher. And basically they are space cockroaches, Domino Chance and Art Zoots. And
okay.
For the longest time, it was like, and even now, issues number 8 and 9 were just crazily expensive for some reason, and even number 7. I think, actually, I know why now. I'm reading through Atomic Avenue. 7 and 8 were the first appearance of Gizmo, who went on to have his own series. And there was his original run, which I believe was self-published, had 9 issues. And then they did a Roach Extraordinaire in 1987 by Amazing. And I had the entire run on the eBays. And oddly enough, for as long as I had it, I never read it. Guess how much it went for, Corey?
No.
This one actually went a little bit more because I had the only run on eBay. So I put it up $24.99. And if you wanted it, too late, it's gone. So if you get bored, if you're looking for some decent runs, like I said, I'm going through and I'm trying to scope together different runs. Got a lot of them up on the eBays. K-R-A-Y-Z, crazy. And do like Eric did. If you do see something you're interested in, let me know and I'll toss in an extra bonus off my vast accumulation of crap. It could be this here Batman Hot Wheel car from the Arkham Knight Batmobile. It could be this big little book of the Calcutta Affair, which is from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. It could be this half-eaten Butterfinger peanut butter cup. No, I'll keep that. And it could also be a key to the Solitaire Rose compound. You just don't know what I'll give you.
Nobody cleaned my house, by the way.
Well, yeah, but I think you scare them away, though, especially
Bastards.
When you said you were going to be home for a while. So
I was!
I know. So, anyways, that's what's going on in the eBays.
Joe, we got a letter.
We did?
Now,
ooh,
Joe, have you
letters.
Watched the Twin Peaks?
Have I what?
Have you watched the Twin Peaks?
He asked, asking me, since I haven't even read Spider-Man from A Brand New Day, so yeah. Oh, yeah, I have watched. No, actually, I haven't.
We got an email.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
You ready?
Yes.
Diane, it's February 15th, and I've been on the road for 6 hours. While driving, I've been listening to a fabulous podcast. It's called Crazy Comics and Stories. Diane, I'm not keen on the spelling of crazy with a K, but it is by no means a deal breaker. Nothing beats listening to crazy comics and stories while sipping on a cup of coffee. Diane, you know how much I love my coffee. I'm always tickled when they talk about pie. Diane, I don't even need to remind you, I'm always on the lookout for great-tasting pie. These two gentlemen have been doing their podcast for 7 years. I admire that sort of dedication. Diane, I've reached my destination city and will be staying at the hotel the kindly gas station attendant suggested to me while passing through Fargo yesterday. Diane, I am now laying on my hotel bed listening to crazy comics and stories. I've decided to call off the FBI raid on the Strode compound we had been planning. I know this will put a damper on the investigation, but I cannot jeopardize the future of my new favorite podcast. Diane, I have now brushed my teeth and will be heading to bed. So, Agent Dale Cooper, big fan of crazy comics and stories.
Well, that's a relief.
And if you want to send us an email, go back, rewind back to the ads, because that's where we have the address. You know, it's solitaireroastnetwork@gmail.com. Or Joe has an address that you can send. Hold on. There's someone at the door. It's really late at night. There's somebody at the door. Joe,
probably somebody with one of their keys.
Joe, talk to the people.
Still taking questions for Ask the Strode for our fabulous 300th episode. And I got to admit, I've only got a handful of them. Folks, don't make me ask Corey questions. I've known this guy for ages. And the questions I would ask would be horrifying, ugly, destructive questions. Things that would shake this podcast, nay, this entire planet to its core. So crazycomics@gmail.com. Just anything you want. You've heard him talk. The guy's like a cornucopia of comic book knowledge, or Twin Peaks, or wrestling, or pie, or redheads. It doesn't matter what the... Ask him why he doesn't like blondes. I need your help, people. If you kill a killer, the number of killers in the same world remains the same, says Batman. Not if you kill lots of them, says Dexter. Oh, well.
Or the Punisher.
Oh, we're not sure. He was off the grid for that.
No. Well, and after we get to, after we find out what's on the eBays, we get to my favorite part of the show. No, 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 not the part where I put down the microphone and sneak a piece of pie and say that I'm answering the door. No, it's freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, we still haven't bid yet. Apparently, in typical government fashion, there was a snafu with the supervisor bids, so they had to rebid the week we were going to bid. Therefore, I'm going to bid next week to find out if I will be around on our normal podcasting time, which for you folks doesn't mean nothing, but it does put a little stress in the old Strode compound, that and the number of jingling people. Every time somebody walks by, Corey's staring at their keys. I just don't get it. Our weather here is fabulous, but on the 25th of February, I actually took the day off because there's a Blizzard World Con, and go to Google or Facebook, check it out. It's the guys who had the little shop that I really liked, and they're doing their con again. However, right now our weather in Minnesota is fabulous. I mean, what did it hit today? 60 degrees?
Yes.
Probably over that.
16 degrees in the rest of the world.
However, the long-term forecast says on the 24th, 25th of next week, we're supposed to be hit with what we call a ball-busting snowstorm, the type of snowstorm that induces heart attacks, stops planes, makes people panic, clears grocery shelves, and then in Minnesota the next day we just move on. But it's a type that actually may stop people from going to things such as Comic-Cons or, you know.
Blizzard World might get hit by a blizzard.
I know. Wouldn't that be ironic? So
don't you
I'm
think?
Looking. I'm actually looking forward to it because Dana and Holly are free that day. So if there's no blizzard, and you know how accurate the weatherman is, I mean, it was supposed to be a nice snowstorm on Thursday or Tuesday, and instead we've got 60 degrees and sun. So
we've got
almost
rain on your wedding day.
But it's so yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. There'll be one more podcast between here and there, so I'll be probably complaining about this again. And then, of course, in 2 weeks, you'll find out if I actually made it to Blizzard World. How about that for a little foreshadowing? You know, other than that, you know, just I'm still getting my back beat up. I went to the chiropractor, and then I went to the end. I don't know if you saw, Corey, I think it was the American Metal Association. Heavy metal. No, the American Medical Association actually approves for back injuries acupuncture, spinal manipulation, massage, and I can't remember the fourth one. But they said it's much better than just taking painkillers and opiates and muscle relaxants to actually, for, you know, a case like bad backs for me. So I'm actually doing that. So I went in for the massage. Now, I've been with the same masseuse for a while. She knows my wife. I think she gave a massage to my oldest daughter. And basically the deal is you dress down to your comfort level. Well, I'm fairly comfortable with her. So this time I decided, you know what, I'll just keep the underwear kind of low. Because the back injury is like right by the hip. And if you got your underwear over your hip, she can't get to where the muscles are sore. Well, she took this as a sign that she could get in and work the glutes. And not only the glutes, but underneath. Oh, my God, I had never felt so much pain in my life. Apparently, because of the back injury. And first of all, the muscles in my shoulders are like in a permanent knot. Because as you're compensating for the injury, the stress goes elsewhere. And it's gone up into my shoulders and my neck and my, you know, in between the shoulder blades. So she works that. But then she went down into the glute area. And
that's
you're
the
thinking, I know, you're sitting thinking, oh, yeah, I should do my butt. And all you perverts out there are already making happy ending jokes. And I'm like, no, no, this was hardcore pain. And I can generally tolerate pain fairly well. But, oh, this, I mean, when she left, I don't know if you've ever had a massage, Corey, where they really get in you and they beat you up. I felt like, A, I couldn't walk. And I got up and I wobbled over to the chair and crashed. And I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to get dressed? I can't even move. And they tell you, yeah, you're going to feel bad. You're going to want to go home. You're going to want to just drink water, maybe get in the bathtub, you know, let yourself recover. I didn't do that. What I did do, I'll tell you on our geeking portion. Corey, what are you freaking on? What's got you down in the dumps?
Well, you talked about manipulation. I've had enough manipulation. I was manipulated for a few years. I don't want to be manipulated anymore.
Oh, come on. If I buy you a happy ending, you know. Look, now I'm doing it. Bad joke. Bad, bad. I'm just going to eat this half a peanut butter cup.
Wait. Happy ending, that's where they give you ice cream, right?
And balloons.
Yes. Confetti. I want that.
I think confetti's extra.
I got to sleep in my own bed this week. And, well, Corey, why is that a freaking? Because for the first couple nights, it's been so long since I've had more than just one night sleeping in my own bed. The second night, I'm laying there, and I was just consumed with that thought of something needs to be done. I'm forgetting something. Because I'm so used to, all right, at 9 o'clock, I have to get everything. I have to get in the car. I have to go to work. That when it came 9 o'clock, and I hadn't done it for a couple of days, I was like, that nagging thought of, I'm forgetting something, I'm forgetting something, I'm forgetting something, I'm forgetting something. So, had a little trouble getting to sleep one of those nights. So the next day at work, I'm there at my desk, just kind of barely awake. so that was a freaking. But really, other than that, it's been a fairly calm week. We had four podcasts drop this week. One of them was late because I
going to get them done once a year.
Yours was fine.
Okay.
It's the novel cast because the novel cast takes a lot of time to edit. It takes like, 40 minutes to record and 3 hours to edit. And Thursday it was, you know what? I haven't had a night where I just don't do anything. So Thursday night I got home, and I said, I'm just going to sit, I'm going to watch TV, I'm going to relax, I'm going to do that. And then I turned on the TV, and I got sucked into the world of cable news because Donald Trump had his nightmarish press conference. And after 2 hours, I had that realization, which is why I quit watching cable news. When you watch cable news, everything is a catastrophe, and if you dare turn away, you're going to miss something. And I got sucked into that, and I wasted 2 hours that I could have used for other things. So thankfully, it's no more cable news.
I don't have that problem because I don't have cable.
Well, and, you know, I don't watch network news because network news isn't really news anymore. It's here's 10 minutes of news and here's 15 minutes of pablum. But just, I got to get away from that again. And when you go, when I look at my friend's feed on Facebook, everybody's freaking out over the government.
And that's then, a good type of freak. Freak out, the sheep, the freak. It's like, oh, death and grief and sorrow and murder. I mean, we need to give everybody banjos because you just can't be depressed if you're playing a banjo and talking about bad things.
And I'm glad that the weather's good because when you step outside,
it doesn't matter.
It's February 17th, then you step outside in the morning and you hear birds in Minnesota. So it's like, you know what? The government can take care of itself. It can do all of its crazy whatever. I'm going to sit out here on the deck and I'm going to read a comic book. So, Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, to continue the theme, on Valentine's Day,
which is why we're recording on a Friday night at 10 at night.
Yep. My wife, we switch off each year to who's doing what, and this was her year to decide what to do, and she had things planned, and she wouldn't give me a single hint because she said, if she said anything, I would probably guess what it is. My kids knew, and of course, they delighted in tormenting me over it. So we say, we went to a place called Urban Growler Brewing Company, which is located in St. Paul, 2325 Endicott Street. Another one of these brewing companies that just pop up. They got their own blend. I had a really good chopped mint porter. We had a couple appetizers because she said, don't fill up on stuff because, you know, the main event's coming a little bit later. It's kind of interesting because the building they chose to set up this microbrewery, and the other thing that's interesting about it is it's the first woman-owned microbrewery in Minnesota. So they got a tap room, they got a kitchen and beer garden. Obviously, the beer garden wasn't open because, you know, it's still technically winter here. So we went in. The building itself used to be a stable for St. Paul Police Mounted Patrol. The horses stayed there. It was kind of interesting because this whole neighborhood used to be very heavy railroad and industrial. You constantly are going over tracks, and they have little signs that say not in service anymore. So we stayed there. Dana caught up with us. Dana hung at our house for a while, and we went in to do the main event. And I'm going to play Corey, see if you can guess where we went. It was somewhere on White Bear Avenue. It was somewhere very close to the shop.
Angelo's.
No. And it's a place that for once a year they are open, but you have to have reservations so you can sit down to some fine linens, some candles, have somebody serve you, and they'll bring the food to you.
White Castle.
You got it. Which is why Chris didn't say anything, because as soon as that sign was in place, I said, we're going to White Castle. And, we went there. We actually met up with a couple friends. If you look at my Facebook page, I got the picture of me and Chris posing in front of the White Castle Valentine sign. It had me my original sliders with cheese. You get the fries and of course, the Coke. And the problem was is after being at Urban Growlers, I had a nice buzz going. And then you get there, and it's like, you know what? The only thing that make these sliders better would be some beer. But White Castle doesn't serve beer. But it was kind of fun to go in. You know, they celebrate you. They treat you like Craver royalty. You sat down, had some castles, and in a mini freaking about 11 o'clock that night when we got home, Chris and I are both like, oh. We had to postpone the last thing we were going to do. We're going to stop town at Ward 6, have one of our adult milkshakes, which is milkshake with alcohol in it. But our stomachs were churning, and we basically decided, you know what? We can't do this again. If we're going to get whiteys, we're going to bring them home and do it the proper way. Drink it with some beer from Urban Growler. We're not 18 anymore, for gosh sakes. On the long-suffering TV side, I have finally worn my wife down, and she's begun to watch Babylon 5 with me. Now, what I did is I we fortunately on the discs on season one, they had a thing in the back, special features where they go through and you hit on it, and it gives you a little talking filmette about the characters, so I could just kind of go through it. And she knows some of the characters, and she knows some of it was coming back, because she's watched the movie, the TV movie twice. We watched the first episode twice, and I kind of made a compromise. I said, okay, yes, Babylon 5 first season is slow. So I made her watch about five episodes that I felt you had to watch. Signs and Portent, of course, that was the one where, you know, the shadow, we get the idea that the shadows are up. Babylon Squared, which dealt with Babylon 4, which has a major thing later on. And then, of course, the last one of the season, the last one that Commander Sinclair was on, although Chris doesn't know that. She knows a new commander's coming, but she doesn't know the where, whys, and withhold. And a lot of times I had to just kind of watch, because she would be like, she can't just put her phone down and watch something. I mean, she, you know, when she's watching X-Files, she's not on her phone. But there were a couple of times I had to tell her, Chris, you're going to have to watch this. Not, you know, listen, just watch, because something happens in the background. And that's kind of the conundrum with Babylon 5. The first season is really, no, I wouldn't say it's not good, but it's tough to get into. And when you go back to watch it, it's like, you know, he hung all the pieces in front of me. You didn't realize how important they were. It's a show. That's why it's fun to rewatch it when you know everything. But boy, going through that first season was tough. So we're getting ready to roll into the second season, and we'll see how that works. From my friend at work, Scott, he gave me his copy of Heavy Metal number 284. Scott is about 10 years older than me, and he is a connoisseur of the original heavy metal. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the movies together, and, you know, he kind of gave this to me knowing that I enjoyed heavy metal. I remember having it at the shop, because I think it was quarterly back when I had the shop, and they would just sit. I had them up high in the Vertigo section. I didn't bag them or anything, and then all of a sudden I'd come in, and boom, they'd be gone. One guy came in and bought the whole run. Grant Morrison is one of the – he's the editor-in-chief, of course.
The editor.
And Kevin Eastman's the publisher. And, of course, Grant Morrison also has the opener in this one called The Savage Sword of Jesus Christ. And, of course, you open it up, and there is a very angry Jesus, muscular as all hell, getting ready to pull his way off the cross. And I look at that, and I did, you know, I went into this just reading it, and I'm like, oh my God, who? Oh, Grant Morrison. Okay, let's keep going. let's see, the second one, Atomic Hawk, part two. Maybe if I had to watch part one, it would have made better sense, but I wasn't really that big on it. And that's kind of the thing about heavy metal. You know, the second one, Tararna. It took me a while to get into it, but I did like it. I reread it. There was a Hercules by Andrew Brandow. That was interesting. And then after that, it started to click for me. I can't even read it. Simutationalists was very interesting. Color of Air Part 1 was actually a lot of fun because, you know, if you can get in on Part 1, that was always the big problem reading heavy metal is you'd come in. You know, like the next part was Zentropa, part four. And I kind of followed what was going on, and I really want to go back and read the other parts. But of all the things, this was probably the weakest part of it because I'm coming in the middle. I don't know what the hell is going on. But it was just a lot of fun to read through the whole issue and just enjoy it. This was the Mythic special for heavy metal. And just as they're wont to do, they have he got the subscription copy, which is a newsstand copy, which had the, I'm not even sure what the character's name is. She's dressed the way the, if you ever saw Heavy Metal, the movie, you know, the final sequence. The comic shop gets the Angry Jesus, and then there's another variant that just has some cubicle buildings in the background. So Heavy Metal's back. If you read it as a youngster, you definitely want to pick it out. I believe it is quarterly.
Nope, it is bi-monthly.
Oh, bi-monthly. Ooh, Scott's
going to be surprised. Morrison's first issue was $2.80, which good comic shops will still have. They are still available from the distributor. And I have been reading it since he took over. And it's an impressive, impressive magazine because it's the art is beautiful. And with Morrison, the stories are more, I don't want to say experimental, but they're exploring more. And it's just an exciting magazine again because it's taking risks, it's taking chances, and it's really kind of pushing the boundaries of what you can do with that magazine.
It is fun. It's worth picking up. I already talked about New Avengers, the complete collection, which I will be picking up and talking more about. I read the last compendium from Fangraphics of the complete Peanuts. This is the definitive collection of Charles Schulz. They're all out there now. This one covers a bunch of stuff that he did that was non-comic strip related. And I gotta admit, I've seen more ad strips now for the Ford Economy twins with their, you know, how thrifty they are with your money, because Schulz did a bunch of comic strips advertising them. There's a couple of the books in there. I don't know if you remember the Dark and Stormy Night, if you ever read that book.
Yep.
That's in there, the two books, Snoopy going after the Red Baron. A couple other things I've never seen before, some of the newer ones. They did a bunch of the things I learned after it was too late, another minor truce. And at the end was a wonderful article by his wife, I should say second wife, Jean Schulz, just kind of touching on the series and what it was like living with Sparky. And it was a good topper to the whole series. I'm still missing books in this series, which, you know, irks me no end because I was on it from the beginning, and then, you know, certain comic shop that ain't going to be named kind of dropped the ball and stopped pulling them for me. So I will be, as time goes on, reassembling it. From NBM Graphic Novels, I read a wonderful graphic novel called The Lighthouse from Paco Rocco. And it's basically Francisco, a wounded, despairing 17-year-old Republican guard in the Spanish Civil War, trying to flee to freedom by crossing the French border. He encounters an old, remote lighthouse far from the warring factions, and he's granted shelter there. Kind of an interesting little book. I don't know how historically accurate it is, but it's just kind of a relaxing one. I love lighthouses. I mean, it's just one of the things that we never talk about here because Corey, you know, thinks it's just a house with a light on top of it. It's a lighthouse. And the creator in the back talks about how this is a rewrite for the current version from NBM. So it's a good little graphic novel worth picking up. Speaking of series, I'm just going to kind of flip through these. Because as I'm putting things on the eBays, I'm also discovering that there's a lot of shit I've never read. And rather than sell it, I should read it first. Not that it stopped me from putting it on eBay. The books I talked about earlier, Justice League, The Nails, never read them. But somebody else is going to. In a mini-freaking, I read Aliens Vampirella, which was actually kind of an interesting series. It obviously takes place in the future, but I only have 5 of the 6 issues. So as I'm reading this and I get to what I think is the last issue, I'm like, I never got issue number 6.
Dun, dun, dun.
I did get all 4 issues of The Bigger Bang from IDW. This is a 4-issue miniseries. Well, we all know about The Big Bang. But the Bigger Bang resulted in our universe being destroyed, but it also created the Destroyer, or as people call him. He's not really a destroyer, but he gets kind of bummed out because even though he goes to save people, they don't necessarily appreciate it. And then, of course, his arch rival, which he doesn't know he has, King Thulu. And this is just a quick 4-issue series. It's out in paperback now. Worth picking up. We're checking out. I returned to Vampirella via Vampirella Army of Darkness, 4-issue series from Dynamite that came out, oh, I don't know, 1993? No, it couldn't have been. 2015, there we go. The Army of Darkness has got the copyright of the 1993. If you're a Vampirella fan, you could probably skip this and just, but if you're an Army of Darkness fan, you don't want to skip it. It's probably out in book form somewhere, or you just go to eBay and buy it. I don't care. Another one that surprised me that I never read, Marvel Universe, The End by Jim Starlin and Al Milgram. I thought for sure as I read this that it would be one of those, oh yeah, I remember reading this, but I didn't. I can't believe I had this thing for so bloody long. Either that or it's kind of like, you know, I probably read the first two issues and then waited till it all got together. But just a fantastic series. I'm pretty sure nobody's really paying attention to it anymore because in the end, Thanos basically, his death recreates the Marvel Universe, but this time around, death is permanent. There's no recycling of heroes. When you die, you die. Well, we all know that's kind of gone out the window. And
they have since said that that is a...
Mopey.
No, they have since said that that's an alternate universe.
Well, it doesn't have to.
Not the Marvel Universe, although at the time it was supposed to be in the Marvel Universe.
And, you know, that's really kind of dumb because it really could be in the Marvel Universe. It just, they're fictional boys. You come up with a new reason to bring Thanos back. Works out fine. A couple other older books that I read, I reached in and picked out a couple of the Star Trek ones that are going on. The first one is from John Byrne. He's doing Star Trek Alien Spotlight, The Romulans. And this one's kind of fun because it takes place before Balance of Terror in the original series. And so we're dealing with those characters, their reaction to the first Bird of Prey, they're knowing that they're going out on the mission, the fact that there were Klingons in the background. John Byrne, you know, drawing Star Trek, I like it a little bit more than his Photoshop stuff. I know he's having fun doing the Photoshop, but, you know, this was a fun series. I think it's out in trade. I don't know if his, I'd have to investigate to see if it's actually under the Alien Spotlight name or if it's, you know, John Byrne's Star Trek. But, you know, I like John Byrne. I like Star Trek. It's a good combination. And I also have Wildstorm's first Star Trek comic, which they went into the Voyager one. And, of course, I had the one that had Jeri Ryan as 7 of 9 because, you know, she's very hot as 7 of 9. She'd be better if she was a redhead 7 of 9. But, you know, that's everybody's fetish. A fun series, just a quick one-shot. I must have picked this up in a cheap box somewhere. I know I have it. There was that DVD set of, or CD-ROM set of Star Trek that came out for a while. Picked it up like for $10 at half price. And everything Wildstorm back all the way to Gold Key is in there, including Marvel's run. But this was just a fun little book. You know, they have some fun with the Borg, some different concepts. It smacks a little bit of the problem writers have with Star Trek because, you know, there's times when they stop to give everybody a reaction shot. You can't do that in comic books, especially if you're not awesome with faces like John Byrne or even we've talked about Gordon Purcell was fantastic in it. But, again, a fun little Star Trek book. Oh, my gosh, that's the end of my pile. Corey, what are you geeking on?
First, the group home that I work at, for the longest time, they've been giving us a quarterly bonus. And the quarterly bonus has been based on your scheduled hours, not the number of actual hours you work. Now, I am a part-timer at the group home. I am scheduled 11 hours every 2 weeks. So I was getting a bonus for someone who was working 11 hours every 2 weeks, even though I was working a lot more hours. Because when they call, I say yes, although I did say no to a shift this week. See, Joe stunned into silence.
No, I'm just finishing up my Butterfinger peanut butter cup. I thought it'd be rude to chew.
But no, it's Thursday night. They asked if I would come in and work the evening shift, and I said no, really can't. I have other plans.
Now I'm shocked.
And it was my plans were, this is the one night I'm not going to work. Actually, I was going to be working on the podcast, and when I got home, it's like, I'm too tired, and I'm going to take one night off. So, but now, the quarterly bonus is based on the hours you actually work. So my bonus was 15 times larger than the previous one I got. I'm not going to give the actual dollar amount, but Joe, I got enough money in this bonus to do something stupid.
Ooh!
I haven't decided what it'll be yet. My first idea is to go to wherever Trump buys his Build-A-Brides.
Mm-hmm.
But what I actually did, I just bought like a $5 pizza from Papa Murphy and came home and laid down on the couch and watched wrestling.
You should buy it from Little Caesars. I heard that he actually paid for Rosa Parks' apartment.
And we did not know that till he passed away.
I know. And that makes me want to go buy their pizza.
I buy their pizza anyway, even though, you know, it's pizza. There's no such thing as terrible pizza, but it's not good pizza because it's $5 and
filling.
It's sitting there.
And
but
it's usually pizza. Fast. Yeah.
Yes, it's pizza and it's fast food. But I actually like Papa Murphy's because I buy the pizza and, you know, that's the one where it's the take and bake.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get what I want on it, and then I can put it in my own oven and have it done the way, blah, blah, blah. I know there's some people who don't much care for it. They call it cheap, but for me, it's the kind of pizza I want to have. Second thing, the rest of these are all comic-related.
Ooh.
News broke today. I will read the press release that I was given. Karen Berger, the legendary award-winning comic book editor and founder of DC Comics' influential imprint, Vertigo, will acquire, edit, and oversee Berger Books, a new line of creator-owned comic books and graphic novels to be published by Dark Horse Comics. The announcement of Berger Books was made at Comics Pro, the comic book industry retailer event, where Berger was named the winner of the Comics Pro Industry Appreciation Award earlier today. Let's see, as the editor of Berger Books, Berger will continue to work from her home on the East Coast. Berger Books will be branded with both the Berger Books and the Dark Horse Comics logo. Like all Dark Horse books, Berger Books will be distributed by Penguin Random House. And you probably were looking at the Dark Horse. Joe, you got your previews right there?
Yep.
Do you see the Neil Gaiman book?
Which one?
The one that's being drawn by, I believe it's P. Craig Russell?
Ooh.
American Gods?
Yes.
I'm probably betting that Karen Berger's name will be showing up on that sometime soon because she's the person who brought him over to the U.S. But, yeah, Berger Books, she was one of those editors. She was in charge of Vertigo in its prime. She's done one book since leaving D.C., and that was Surgeon X over at Image that she edited. I think somebody's non-compete clause just ended, and I'm very excited to see what she's going to be bringing to comics because her run on Vertigo was amazing. You know, just look at what Vertigo published in the 90s when she was in charge. You've got Sandman, you've got Doom Patrol, you've got The Invisibles, you've got Preacher, all of these amazing, amazing comics. And creators really like working with her, so Image might have a little bit of competition here.
Uh-oh. Hey, they had their chance. They could have hired her.
The second thing is non-comics, third thing is non-comics related. Stephanie Kofell, who's a friend of the show, we interviewed her way back a while ago for Solitaire Rose Radio. She was a colorist for both Vertigo and Archie. Her husband, Dave Kofell, is a folk musician, and he is at a big folk festival of some kind. I think it's called Shrub, S-H-U-B-B. It's a big folk award festival. Annie DeFranco's there. Chris Christopherson's there. He received the Lifetime Achievement Award. So, very excited for them, very excited. She was the one of the judges for the Best Dressed Man in Comics that was broadcast a while back. So congratulations to her handsome groom, Dave, and she is the one who gets his bookings and is kind of the, I don't know what the term is, agent. But very excited. They've been hinting around that they might do a podcast for Solitaire Rose Network, so we could have an award-winning person doing podcasts for us, Joe.
Cool.
And comic-wise, I read Monsters Unleashed, number 1 and 2, and I don't think it's the big crossover event that Marvel was pushing it as, but boy, it was a lot of fun. A lot of monsters versus a lot of Marvel characters, Kirby monsters, new monsters, and this is not Secret Wars, this is not Secret Invasion, this is not Civil War, this is just a bunch of superheroes fighting a bunch of monsters, and I it's fun, and I'm enjoying it. The Walking Dead 25-cent issue, I read that. And while I am still pissed that the end of the Whisper War ended on a cliffhanger, I did like this issue a lot. It's very zombie-centric, and I think a lot of people who watch the TV show are going to get shocked by the things that have changed since, the series is around issue, just completed stories from around issue 100. We're up to issue 163. So there have been a lot of changes. So all you people who say, nothing ever happens, well, you're wrong. And the first volume of Images Kill or Be Killed is out now. This is the comic from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. It's about a young man who is forced to kill bad people. He doesn't want to be a killer, but he's being forced to kill bad people. Or is he just crazy? We don't know. This is the team behind Criminal, The Fade Out, Fatale, Sleeper. Anything that Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips do, I'm going to be buying. So this is their new series. First trade paperback is out. Go buy it. Go buy it now. And this weekend that we are recording this, we're recording this on a Friday night, and we're recording it on a Friday night because I don't have to work. And tomorrow morning, I'm sleeping in because I don't have to work. And then Sunday, I'm going to be sleeping in because I don't have to work. It's a weekend off, Joe.
Slacker.
I know. Good thing is that after this week of sleeping in my own bed and everything, it was another one of those where they said, well, we've hired somebody, so we're not going to be needing you as much, blah, 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 blah. And then a few days later, it's like, we have all these dates open in late February, early March. You want them? Yeah, I'll take them, whatever. Got to start working on the next bonus check. So that's what I'm geeking on, and our next episode, I'll probably have a big old stack of comics like you that I've gone through. We'll even do a review next week.
All right.
Get back on the review train. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for at least an hour and a half. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I'm torn, Corey. Do I stick with a Stan Lee quote, or should I, since he passed away, do you want a George the Animal Steel quote?
Well, let's do both.
All right, let's start with Stan Lee. I'm a frustrated actor. My goal is to beat Alfred Hitchcock in the number of cameos. I'm going to try to break his record. And for our good friend George the Animal Steel, God rest his soul. Get my music.
Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Done, bitches!